proper place, and we'll draw lines in all directions to have to show what kind of influence there was, and so forth. So, all right, you've got. Let's say there are three big sources of monasticism: the Greek, and the Coptic, and the Syriac. And with the Syriac, I include Palestine, although they might be independent, because there's a difference between Syrian monasticism and Palestinian monasticism. But I'll lump them together so as not to be too complicated. Now, starting when? When does the whole thing really begin? When would you say would be the earliest evidence of monasticism anywhere? And where do you think it would be? Brother Cyprian, how far back? A Christian monasticism?
Probably in the 3rd century.
Third century, that's right. 200 and the late 200. See, at about, let's say at 300, or 280, 290, there are already monks in Syria, evidently, in 280, 290. Nobody knows exactly who they were, but they were back in the mountains, back of Nisibis, or however, whatever you call the place. So 280, 90, and 300. And St. Anthony is already functioning about 300. So let's say Anthony in Egypt, about 300, and then... Well, James of Nisibis, he's starting off in Syria about the same time as Antony here. Pachomius comes a little later. And these are two, at least two independent sources. Now, you've got them also perhaps in other places, but these are the great main chief original sources. And at the same time, ahead of, before all these people, you've got somebody that you have to include here. Although he's not a monk, and he's before the monks, but that's Origen, because he's one of the, he gets the Greek monastic theology, follows him pretty much all along. Now, where do your Greek monks begin? In about what year, and about where? Are they in Greece? Anybody? Brother Basil. Well, you ought to know. Where was St. Basil?
Cappadocia.
See, in Asia Minor, the Greeks in Asia Minor, because Asia Minor is Greek territory, and St. Basil and Gregory Nazianzus and Gregory Nyssa and so forth, they start up in there. Of course, Basil has been to Egypt. Maybe there are some Greeks in Egypt and so forth, but let's say Basil and co. Now, Basil, right away, you have to realize, is to some extent influenced by Antony. When I say Antony, I mean Coptic. See, he's not influenced too much by Antony. He's not influenced too much by Pachomius, and he is influenced a great deal by the Syrians through Eustathius. See that? But he reacts against them. So right away, you see how complicated it begins to get. See, Basil is not just somebody who went to Egypt and found Egyptian monasticism, and then took it and made it Greek monasticism. He knew Egyptian monasticism because Eustathius sent him to Egypt, but he also got the Syrian trend through this man Eustathius. So, now here we're in the Western trend here. Basil, of course, Basil and Gregory of Nyssa and so forth, they influence Evagrius, so does Origen, and he's in Egypt. And then he influences Cassian, and Cassian, of course, goes to the West and gets it over to... he gets it into the Latin territory. But meanwhile, you've got somebody else starting up over here in the Latin territory at the same time as Cassian. It isn't exactly monasticism, but it's religious life, and we don't talk about it much. It's very important, though. Who would that be?
Yeah. Paulinus and Zola.
Paulinus, all right, but especially Paulinus didn't have too much influence. But the man who had a great deal of influence, yeah?
St. Martin.
Well, of course, Martin would be part of this whole trend here. This is somebody who's a little out of this trend. See, Martin is really in this line. But the man I'm thinking of isn't. This is somebody we haven't talked about. And we're probably not going to talk about. He's not, strictly speaking, a monk. Yeah?
Augustine.
See, because Augustine starts this whole... He writes his rule, but it's for canonical life. See? But it's kind of somewhat in the same kind of trend, so you'll have to include him. It's communal life. It's not monastic life. It's clerical communal life. But it's related. So we have to sort of fill in the picture with him. See? Now, as you get further over here, what do you run into? You run into the monks of Gaul. And this means Lerin and so forth, and Martin and so forth. And then Augustine has a little influence on them to some extent, or some influence on Gaul, as we'll find. And so this is getting to be quite a complicated picture over here. Now...